39.
There were times in my life where I rushed through things that shouldn't have been rushed. Times where something felt so important that I just had to do it right then and put off enjoying the time with the people around me like I should have. While it's a regret now, I don't know that dwelling on it does me any good. Can't change the past.
The sandwich tasted just as good as it looked. The bread was nice and warm, the vegetables were crisp, and the meat wasn't too dry or too juicy. It was by far the freshest sandwich he'd had in a very long time. Charles may have paid more attention to eating than he did listening to the start of their story. He vaguely remembered something about the samurai being an alchemist, which Charles pieced together was someone who did something to make magic potions.
"So you're a witch?"
That was the conclusion he landed on, much to the delight of the others and the chagrin of the samurai. The man apparently had been made their spokesperson by some unsaid agreement.
"No, witches use magic spells and rituals, though they do sometimes brew potions. An alchemist only brews potions," the samurai explained with a huff.
"Do you use a big pot and a spoon?"
Charles asked. He wasn't trying to poke fun at the young man, genuinely just trying to understand how things worked. His intent didn't seem to help make the situation any less embarrassing to the witch samurai, though.
"You mean a cauldron? Well, maybe."
The others guffawed around him, taking delight in the questions. The poor man's face was starting to redden.
"You know what? Never mind what an alchemist does. I did something, and we reincarnated."
"Which means you were reborn in a new body?"
"Yes."
The others nodded, though the orc woman was still chuckling while she did it.
"And you traveled through time?"
"Yes, though that's not always a part of reincarnating, just sometimes."
The samurai fidgeted as he spoke.
"So you moved into a new body that sometimes time travels. How often do you get to time travel?"
Charles decided to treat this like when his kids were young and telling a story they made up.
"No, I mean, we don't get to time travel. We just time-traveled once to get to the new body."
"Oh, so you don't get to go back and forth?"
Charles was starting to get a clearer picture. The man shook his head.
"No, we just travel to where our new body is."
"And you did this on purpose? Why?"
"If I could go back in time and knew what was going to happen, I could get rich and powerful,"
the samurai answered excitedly.
"Oh."
Charles remembered a few movies that happened in. Now done with his sandwich, Charles picked up a piece of wood to whittle on while they talked, but looked at the others before he started on it.
"So why did you all time travel?"
The orc woman, through clenched teeth, answered,
"We didn't get a choice in it."
She glared at the samurai.
"This guy experimented on us to perfect his formula."
Charles nodded and looked down at the piece of wood. The wood longer and thinner than the first piece, with more bark covering it. Almost absently, he began to cut away the bark.
"You didn't get to pick to go back in time?"
"No. He tricked me. I thought I was taking something to increase my charisma stat, to make me better looking."
"I thought it would increase my strength," the lizard man hissed.
"And instead it sent you back in time? Would you go back in time if you had the choice?" "Maybe I can convince them they're fine and can go off, be happy, and let me be."
"No. Well, maybe. Okay, yes, but not in this body. I'm a man, damn it,"
the orc woman answered fervently.
"Yeah, not me. I was happy where I was. I had a tower, land, peasants, and almost my own kingdom. I was in the top 30 list for minor nobility,"
the sweet voice of the deer chimed in.
"Drat. Well, that didn't pan out."
"I would. I definitely would if I could work for you again, Mr. Charles. I only wish I had a body I could move,"
the rock version of Titha answered.
"Huh. Why don't you have a body? And if your soul got eaten, how did you reincarnate?"
Charles was happy that Titha was okay, but confused about how she came back.
"Mr. Charles, my soul got eaten in this dimension? That's horrible. Oh, no. How did that happen?"
This dimension?
Now Charles was even more confused. He looked at the others, but none could look him in the eyes. With absolute conviction, he completely ignored any questions related to her death.
Yeah, the orc woman said. About that. It turns out that we didn't reincarnate in the same dimension. None of the things that we remember happening are the same.
Now, Charles had taken the time to listen to their story so far. He even followed along.
Time travel, okay. Reborn in a different body, sure. Tricked into it, maybe.
But for some reason, the addition of dimensional travel just seemed to push it past some sort of line for Charles.
This is too much. The five of them are already like a bad joke.
This has got to be some kind of trick, and he didn't have time for this crap. Charles stood up and walked angrily into the cabin, slamming the door and leaving five bewildered adventurers standing surprised outside. Inside the cabin, the banshee looked startled at his sudden entry and, with a look at his face, disappeared into the floor. Charles didn't even pay attention. He was already connecting through the comms line. There was only one man who knew he was playing and where he was.
"Hey, Charles," Bert answered. "I meant to call you,"
Charles cut him off.
"What in the world, Bert? Why did you do this to me?"
Bert looked surprised. The younger face and well-groomed hair of his game character made the shock stand out. Then his mouth split into a huge grin and his eyes crinkled.
"It took you long enough. Most folks get unknown items identified."
"What are you talking about?"
Charles butted in.
"Items? That didn't make any sense."
Bert had stopped with his mouth open.
"What are you talking about?"
"The time-traveling, reincarnating, sex-changing whatevers. You sent me some kind of circus act. I bet you're laughing your butt off right now, sending that kind of crap my way."
"Hold that thought, Charles. I have no idea. Tell you what, I'll be right there."
The comms line disconnected, and a blue swirling portal of light opened up right in front of Charles. Charles was surprised.
"Not only did Bert know exactly where I am, but he could get here this quickly?"
Charles was even more shocked when the image he could see through the other side revealed the inside of a throne room with elaborate candelabras and plush rugs. It didn't last long until Bert stepped through and then winked out. Bert looked as dashing as ever, wearing a thick full-body pearlescent armor and a yellow cape that seemed to have flames burning around the edges.
"Nice little cabin you got here,"
Bert greeted with a big smile.
"Yeah, yeah, don't catch it on fire with that thing,"
Charles gestured at the cape.
"Now why'd you do this to me?"
"Charles, I don't know."
Bert's voice trailed off when Charles opened the door to reveal the five folks left outside in the middle of an argument. In the very center of them, a roundish rock was yelling,
"I don't know why he walked off. He's not normally like that. Not angry. Grumpy, yeah, but..."
She stopped talking when she realized the voices of the others had died out.
"He's back, isn't he?"
"Yeah, and you won't believe who he brought with him,"
the samurai answered. There was an awkward, stunned silence that lasted just a moment, right up until a light musical voice spoke one word that shocked them all.
"Dad?"
the deer asked.